so glad that even when the world puts us down, God will pick us up. Amen.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Last week, we heard from Pastor Brian Grant how, in some professional wrestling matches, the winners are chosen before the match even begins. But while Christians are indeed chosen for victory, faith qualities are needed because the battle is real and our adversary has never agreed to lose. Pastor Brian lists three faith qualities taken from the book of Judges. First, spiritual victory requires we pass God's tests. Second, spiritual victory requires we recognize how God's power works best in our weaknesses. This evening, he will conclude his message by giving a third, all-important faith quality that will ensure spiritual victory. So we invite you to listen with us now as Pastor Grant brings the conclusion of Chosen for Victory. Here is Pastor Grant.
There is a surprising thing here. Naming Ehud as one of the judges was very surprising. Do you realize, why do you think this is a big surprise? Because Ehud was left-handed. Now before, I'm going to talk about this left-handed Ehud. And so I need to make a comment here because some of you who are lefties may say, is the preacher preaching against left-handers? I just want to be clear. I have a daughter who is left-handed, and I have a granddaughter who is left-handed. So I love lefties as much as I love right-handed folks. Am I right about that? All right. I have a daughter saying a praise the Lord in front of me here. I got lefties in my family, so I have no problem with lefties. But listen, why in the world did God bring up the fact that he's left-handed? It's a big, big deal. God is actually saying one of the most powerful statements in this passage is that Ehud was a left-handed man. I could preach the whole message on the fact that he was a left-handed man. Guess why? Ehud was living in an age when left-handed people were nobodies. Many left-handed people had low self-esteem, for people looked down on them, and most people thought they couldn't amount to anything. In fact, most of the early great civilizations, including the Mesopotamians, the Egyptians, the Greeks, the Romans, they were all biased against left-handed people. Even famous thinkers like Plato and Aristotle associated the right hand with good and the left hand with evil and criminality. If you are left-handed, chances are you are a criminal as far as they were concerned. As far as Plato was concerned, left-handed people were nobodies and were generally a drag on the society. I'm so glad that even when the world puts us down, God will pick us up. Amen? The world had no use for left-handed people. But God picked him up, and he made Ehud, this left-handed man, as one of only six major judges in the book of the Judges. Listen, God picked him up, and he made him the leader of Israel. Listen, although they thought he was a second-class citizen, and God delights in using ordinary people. Oh, that's the message. Oh, I read it to all these people who tell me, if you ever knew where I came from, you know, my parents didn't have this, I didn't have this benefit, I didn't have that benefit. But I'm here to tell you, the God of heaven loves to pick up nobodies and turn them into trophies of his grace. Amen. He can use you. So stop, listen. Stop saying all the stuff that is against you. Stop saying what your father didn't do or what your mother didn't do. And let's start trusting in Jesus, the one who saved you by his grace. Amen. Look with me now. Let's go to another scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. Hold your back. We're not finished here with Ehud. There's a whole lot more coming. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's go to verse 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 to 29. I want to read. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise men according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen who? The foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen what? The weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world are the things which are despised. Hallelujah. God delights in picking up the broken and those who are overlooked. I'm not putting that in the Bible. I'm just commenting. God has chosen and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Oh, hallelujah. I'm so glad. This is the type of God we serve. We don't have to give up because of our background. Amen. We don't have to give up. We don't have to give up because the mistakes. Because the minute we come to Christ, we are chosen for victory. I want to put on the screen a verse of scripture, if you would. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. And I just put that, it's right there on the PowerPoint. I'm going to put it up in the New Living Translation. And here's what it says. Read it with me. My grace, what? Is all you need. My power works what? Best in weakness. Do you get it? God says, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. You understand what that God is saying? They may have written you off. The school teacher may have said, you're the least likely to succeed. But God says, my grace is all you need. Amen. My grace is all you need. My son once told you his testimony of the school teachers told him this and the school teachers told him that. Oh, you could never get into this type of call. My grace is all you need. My daddy was sleeping on the streets. My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. And oh, I pray that this morning somebody will get a grasp of that and recognize it's time for a change. Amen. It's time for a change. The problem is sometimes some of us get so puffed up, we think that we are all that and a bag of chips. If you're all that, I don't think we realize what we're doing, you know. When we think we're all that, God ain't going to use us. You have already determined you have all the need. The person that God is really serious in working with is the person who recognizes, I am nothing. Without you, I am nothing. But with you, all things are possible. Amen. Listen, sadly, the Christian church is gradually losing sight of the fact that God works best in our weakness. For there's now such a growing demand for superstar preachers. I don't think many of us realize what's going on. I had to do this. I didn't do it for this message. Somebody asked me a question and I did some research to find the answer, but it blew my mind. Some preachers today, if you're going to get them to come here for one service, you're going to have to pay them $150,000 to $200,000 for one message. Did you hear what I'm telling you? I didn't make that up. $150,000 to $200,000 to come and preach one message. Listen, the church is caught in the superstar mentality. But it's time for a reset. For God is not looking for superstars. He's looking for some Ehuds. Just some ordinary left-handed people and right-handed people, or people perhaps with no hands. Just some ordinary Ehuds who are willing to say, God, I'm available to you. Is that you this morning, young man? Is that where you are? Are you at the position, young lady, are you at the position where you're saying, God, I am nothing, but I am so glad you do your best work in weakness. Because God, that's exactly who I am. Well, we better get back to the story, and because this is quite a story. It's a little bit of a gory story. Do you mind a little bit of a gory story? I know you like that too. You watch some of these gory looking things on TV. So you may as well get a gory story with a message. Amen. Here is a gory story with a message. Judges chapter 3. Are you there? I'm picking up at verse 20. So Ehud came to him. So Ehud has now come to King Eglon. He's meeting with Eglon. And when he comes to visit Eglon, he was sitting upstairs in his cool private chamber. Thank God for cool. Then Ehud said, I have a message from God for you. So he arose from his seat. Did I start reading at the proper place? No, I did not. I should have started at verse 16. Ehud made himself a dagger. This is so important. Ehud made himself a dagger. It was double-edged and a cubit in length. So it's sharpened on both sides. It's 18 inches, in case you want it in inches. It was double-edged, and he fastened it on his clothes, on his right thigh. So left-handed Ehud has his 18-inch dagger on his right thigh. You got it? So he brought the tribute money to Eglon, king of Moab. Now, Eglon was what? A very fat man. And when he had finished presenting the tribute, he sent away the people who had carried the tribute. But he himself turned back. This is Ehud. He sends away those who are with him that had helped him with bring the money. And he turned back from the stone images that were at Gilgal and said, I have a secret message for you, O king. So the king said, told all the people with him to leave. So Ehud came to him. Now he was sitting upstairs in his cool private chamber. Then Ehud said, I have a message from God for you. So the king rose from his seat. Then Ehud reached, Ehud reached with his left hand. He's a lefty. Oh, the lefty was going to help him out now. Because this man is unaccustomed to dealing with lefties. Are you understanding? This man is only accustomed to dealing with right-handed man. No left-handed man is coming before the king. Left-handed Ehud grabbed uses left hand, and he grabs hold of the dagger on the right hand and bang into the man's belly. Oh my goodness. Took the dagger from his right thigh, thrust it into the man's belly. Did you see it? Even the hilt went in after the blade. Everything, there was so much fat, everything went right in. Everything went right in. And the fat closed over the blade. You couldn't even see the thing. The fat covered it. For he did not draw the dagger out of his belly. And his end, oh my goodness, the man entrails came out, the intestines, everything came out. Then Ehud went out through the porch and shut the doors of the upper room behind him and locked them. Okay, all right. Well, then when he had gone out, Eglon's servants came to look, and to their surprise, the doors of the upper room were locked. So they said, he's probably attending to his needs in the cool chamber. So they waited till they were embarrassed, and still he had not opened the door. Okay, did you get it? Did you get it? Why do you think they were embarrassed? They thought that Ehud had had a powerful bowel movement. Am I allowed to say that in church? They thought Ehud had had a powerful bowel movement. He was relieving himself. The stench, listen, listen. Remember the man's, everything inside came out. The bowels, everything was pierced. The smell was so strong. They smelt it and they said, oh my goodness, this man is having a powerful bowel movement. We better give him some time to get himself together. So they wait until they were embarrassed. In other words, we can't just stand here all day. We better go check. We better go check. We better go check. And he still had not opened the doors. Therefore, they took the key and opened them. And there was their master, fallen dead on the floor. But Ehud had escaped while they delayed. Wow, wow, wow. So let's continue and wrap this chapter, verse 27. It happened when he arrived. So Ehud escaped, verse 26, and passed beyond the stone images, escaped to Sirah. And it happened when he arrived, there he blew the trumpet in the mountains of Ephraim, and the children of Israel went down with him from the mountains, and he led them. Then he said to them, follow me, for the Lord has delivered your enemies, the Moabites, into your hand. So they went down after him, seized the fords of Jordan, took control of the waterways. They seized the fords of the Jordan leading to Moab, and did not allow anyone to cross over. And at that time they killed 10,000 men of Moab, all stout men of valor. Not a man escaped. So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest for 80 years. The land had rest for 80 years because of one left-handed man. One left-handed man. One man who was regarded as a reject. One man who they regarded as the last and the least and the lowest. But one man who said, listen, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yes, I'm bringing the New Testament into the Old Testament. Listen, Ehud was determined that he knew that God could use him. And so, listen, they were able to kill the same people who were running, kill 10,000 of Moab's toughest soldiers. God's of power works what? Best. In our weakness. Are you willing to make yourself totally available to God today? Oh, I'm speaking to some young person, some older person, doesn't matter. But the question is, God is asking you, young man. God is saying to you, young lady, I got some big plans for you. I got some big plans for you. And what it takes is not your ability, but your availability to say to me, God, I'm available to you. Because it doesn't matter what hand you use. If you say, God, I'm available, big things can happen. Oh, I pray that today that will happen. Let me bring this message to a close in 5 minutes. Don't worry. First, spiritual victory requires that we must pass God's test. Second, spiritual victory requires that God's power works best in our weakness. And third and finally, spiritual victory requires repentance. Oh, you can read Judges 3, 9 to 14 on your own, but you've seen the picture. He already read it to you. Brother Marlon read some of it to you because what? The story kept repeating itself. They were with God. They left God. They were captured. They were in servitude. They came back. they left God. It was a round and round and round. God had chosen Israel for victory, but they kept rebelling against him, and they were constantly being put in bondage. But as you read the verses, there's something missing. There's no indication that there was ever any repentance. They wanted God's help, but were never willing to enthrone him as the Lord of their lives. And I tell you, that happens so much. People want God's help. They come and they ask, "Pastor, could you pray that God will bless me?" We want God's blessing, but we don't want to enthrone God as the Lord of our lives. And my friend, if you really want to see dramatic change in your life, it starts with repentance. You say, "Pastor, what is repentance?" Here's an illustration I use for quite a bit. Your teacher asks the Sunday school class, "What is repentance?" Little boy says, "Repentance is when you're sorry for your sin." And sadly, that often is many people, their definition of repentance is to be sorry for sin. But the teacher said, "No, being sorry for sin is not enough." Little girl raised her hand. She said, "Teacher, repentance is not just being sorry for sin. It's being sorry enough to quit." And that's really what God is talking about. No, you're going to need his help to quit. But repentance is when I come to the point in my life where I'm willing to say, "Oh God, I'm not only sorry for my sin, but God, I want to turn. I want to leave my sin. I want to turn away and I want to go your way. I want God's way to be my way every day. And so today I'm turning from my sin and I'm turning to you. I'm done with old living. I want to start a brand new life with you."
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, "Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved?" You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this: "Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen." And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.